So the next few cases that we're going to talk about today are about agency interpretation of rules and laws. And so this second of seven cases that we're discussing this morning is called Bush v. Lone Oak Club. And this was a decision from the Texas Supreme Court earlier this year. And in that case, the Lone Oak Bayou is a navigable body of water near the Gulf of Mexico. And the Lone Oak Club owned a large tract of land along the bayou, including land that was submerged under the bayou. So the club had acquired the bayou to establish an area where people could go fishing and hunting, and members of the club started to fish in the areas owned, areas of the bayou that were owned by the club, including the bayou's submerged bed. And the club claimed that these people were trespassing. So after the club excluded someone who was hunting in the area at issue, the General Land Office conducted an inspection and noted that the tide was coming and rising, so that submerged area changed. And the GLO concluded that the disputed areas are state-owned submerged lands and that the waters are tidally influenced public waterways, and the boundary between the state and private ownership is the line of the high water line. So as far as it kind of goes, they get all that, even though the tide comes down. So the club filed suit in district court, and GLO argued that a law that the Texas legislature had passed back in 1929, called the Small Bill Act, did not validate conveyances of tidally influenced waterways. And so therefore the land that was submerged under the bayou did not belong to the club. However, the district court and the third court of appeals agreed with the club, and then the GLO appealed to the Texas Supreme Court. So the issue at the Texas Supreme Court was whether that 1929 law, the small bill, validated patent parts of lands that were submerged under tidally influenced water courses and navigable streams. And the court first settled the preliminary issue of where that line was between the state and private ownership, where that exists. And the court held that under English common law, the line was at the mean high tide. Therefore, the issue that the court analyzed was whether, for purposes of determining what land was validated under that 1929 law, what was a navigable stream existed only above this high tide line. And in the decision, the court agreed with the club and held that the small bill, that 1929 law, validates conveyances of the submerged beds of navigable streams and not just the lands above the high tide, above the mean tide line. And the court referred to the navigable stream statute passed by the Republic of Texas in 1837 to interpret whether the term navigable stream includes the submerged beds. And the court said that because the small bill and the navigable stream statute deal with the same subject matter, then the term navigable stream, as used in that navigable stream statute, would inform the understanding of what that term meant in Small Bill Act. In the Republic of Texas, the court noted that the Republic of Texas followed the civil law of Mexico at the time of the enactment of the navigable stream statute, and that such civil law did not distinguish between land above and land below the tidal line. And the navigable stream statute included a definition of navigable stream that was based on width, but did not address the tide lines. And the court held that the Navigable Stream Act's definition did not override civil law's lack of a distinction between lands above and below the tide line, and therefore a navigable stream under the small bill exists both above and below the tide line. So the court remanded the case back to the trial court. Back to the trial court to determine whether the bayou was, quote, a navigable stream or a water course, and finding that the club failed to establish that the bayou was a navigable stream or water course as a matter of law. Okay, back to you, Matt.
Thanks, Fairy. So I neglected to mention at the beginning, but we'll try to reserve just a couple of minutes for questions at the end. But if we run out of time for that today, feel free to email Carrie and I, and we'd be happy to answer any of your questions about these cases.